If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the studio.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me on.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you back. You kindly answer my Islamic questions and or religious questions. Based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, and from the last episode onwards, we tried to delve into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature, and let's continue in this episode too. Well, there is this general question, Sheikh. During prayer, is it permissible to hug a baby whose clothes or diapers are ritually contaminated or najis, of course, without the impurity spreading to the clothes or body of the person offering the prayer?
Yes.
So is it permissible to do that?
Well, the short answer is that it should be avoided as a measure of obligatory precaution. Uh-huh. There is not any precise ruling with regard to carrying a child who is ritually impure. But there is a precaution which must be observed and it must be heeded. While the validity of prayer is not nullified unless the impurity transfers to the person's clothes or body, hugging an impure baby during prayer contradicts the state of ritual purity, right, tahara, required in during salah, during prayer. Of course, jurists advise, and their advice is based on ihtiyat wajib. There's no fatwa in this regard. They have advised and they have exercised obligatory precaution, saying that the act should be avoided even if no impurity spreads. If it does spread, there's objection, there's problem. Mm. Because it spreads, the najasa spreads to your clothes, to your body, and you cannot carry that baby in that case. The praying person should place the baby nearby or in a cradle during prayer to preserve both concentration and also purity. Mm. And this is more actually precautionary. When you put the child beside you, okay, there are people, okay, who might say that, okay, the child will prevent you from concentration, from, you know, from praying, especially when ruku and sujood you are doing.
Yes.
Of course, this problem will arise, but it will not invalidate the problem. If the child is ritually pure, it is quite okay to carry the baby, especially if it's very much, it's feared that the child may go away, might fall down, might, get harmed by something. Yes.
Another variant, Sheikh, for this question would be something like this, that we see that the mothers with the babies, right, they carry their babies on their back all the time and they can't leave their child alone, for example, somewhere, all right? So they carry it on their back, for example, while offering the prayer. And the baby is okay, like not najis now. But in the middle of the prayer, if something happens, like the baby urinates and makes its clothes najis, then what will they ruling for the mother actually offering the prayer? Should she stop the prayer immediately, or she should continue? After the rak'ah or unit of the prayer is over, then she has to wash the baby, for example.
Well, if the najasa or impurity spreads to her clothes and her dress and her body, then there's no doubt about it, because she cannot continue praying with the impurity on her body or clothes. Uh-huh. Yes, she must stop and purify herself, and then go ahead and pray from the beginning.
Thank you very much. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back momentarily.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad Hossein's program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sheikh Javid, given that it is forbidden for men to wear gold, if someone receives a men's ring as a gift, can he sell only the gold without intending to use it? There is no intention to use the ring at all, by the way.
Well, of course, the ring belongs to him, and there's no problem whatsoever to take the ring, but not to wear it. Mm. Keep it aside, or maybe put it in a box.
Yes.
And keep it as an asset.
Right.
The religious law permits him to do so.
Mm.
The prohibition concerns wearing or using gold as adornment for men, not owning or selling it. And so selling a gold item such as a ring solely for its material value is lawful. None of the religious authorities has ever said that it is wrong to keep gold. No, Islam is not against gold, but wearing it for adornment. Like, for example, if you put it in your pocket, and you're not using it for adornment purpose.
Mm.
Yes, there's no intention to adorn yourself with the gold inside your pocket. There's no problem.
If you wear the gold ring, like just for a short, very short time, to just try it on, would it be problematic?
Now, trying out is one thing, but wearing it in common sense, if it's you are considered to be wearing it, it's not permissible. Even it doesn't matter whether you are praying or whether you are just wearing it. You know, but trying is something which is nothing wrong with it. Okay,
yes.
There's nothing wrong with just trying it. Okay,
yes.
Taking it in your hand, there's nothing, no problem in doing so.
Yes,
and of course, when it comes to selling gold items, if the transaction includes additional value for craftsmanship or decorative design intended for male use, it becomes problematic.
I see.
Yes. And as long as the sale is purely for the gold content and with no intent to use it personally, it is permissible.
Sheikh Javid, when we are speaking about gold, we mean that yellow metal that is famous as gold.
Yes.
We are not talking about any other elements like platinum, which is also described and designated as a kind of gold, they say.
Yeah. If gold is gold and people consider it as gold, it the color is not important. It is yellow, it could be white, okay? And
even the white gold,
white gold is prohibited.
Okay. What about the golden tooth or teeth? Because some men are wearing them in their as a kind of false teeth. So is this problematic?
It is problematic. It's not permissible to wear gold, okay?
Uh-huh.
Whether on your ring or your could be a gold teeth.
Uh-huh.
And there are, of course, replacements. You can use any kind of other metal or material to use as a to have the same function.
But they say that the old people especially claim or they are under the impression that sometimes the false teeth are harmful kind of or one way or another. So they say that this is their claim, that they say that if they wear these gold tooth or teeth, it reduces the harm in for their body.
That is to be, I think, it's to be discussed maybe because of a secondary rule.
Uh-huh.
You know, it could be discussed and the answer might change when there is the possibility
medical
of
purposes.
Harm or when there is another scenario.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. Let's have another break. And then when we come back, we continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Shabid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Shabid, a person leaves a sum of money in trust with another so that after his death it can be spent on the expenses of burial, shrouding, a certain period of prayer and fasting, as well as compensating for mazalim.
Right.
In other words, the property you owe to an unknown, inaccessible person and the funeral ceremonies. If after the aforementioned matters are over and completed, does any amount remain? Does it belong to the heirs and should it be spent on good deeds?
Right. Well, if after deducting the debts and financial obligations of the deceased, the total amount of the property entrusted is not more than one-third of the deceased's property, the remainder should be spent on mazalim. If there is any amount left, provided that it does not exceed the one-third of the property of the dead individual.
Mm.
Then if there's any amount left, okay,
yes,
then it should be used for madhalim. Madhalim means, okay, any kind of possible debt, okay,
yes,
that you might owe to someone,
yes,
whom you do not know, as
yes,
you mentioned.
To cover, okay, for the losses.
Yeah. So a person can only allocate up to one-third of their estate,
right,
okay, for charitable or non-inheritance purposes without the heir's consent.
Mm.
The consent of the heirs is not a requirement, it's not a condition when it comes to one-third of one's property or estate or belongings or asset, whatever you have, okay?
Right.
So you can dedicate or allocate one-third of your property to,
yes,
for any purpose.
Right.
Yes. And if the entrusted amount does not exceed that portion, it remains under the deceased's will and should be used in acts that benefit his afterlife, like mazalim, you know, actually being the priority, of course. And of course, if the total amount exceeds one-third, that's another situation. The surplus belongs to the heirs, unless they voluntarily agree to,
yes,
allow it to be used for good deeds, okay?
Right.
And this depends actually squarely on the consent of the heirs.
Okay.
You cannot use the extra amount, the thing which is in excess of the one-third, yes?
Mm.
You cannot use it for any purpose without the consent of the heirs.
I see. I appreciate it, Sheikh. That was Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker, talking with me, answering my Islamic laws related question. This is Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program. Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن.